Sometimes of late, it feels like the news is all fire all the time. The smoky part of the year came a bit early this time around, and it's been a very robust fire season. Not our first fire season, certainly won't be our last. Let's cast our focus back to last year, when devastating fires burned through the counties north of San Francisco Bay. Although this year's Mendocino complex seems to be dwarfing that, at least in amount of acreage. Last year, thousands of homes were destroyed as fires swept through last October. Rebuilding is underway, but will take some time. Let's get some perspective on some of the difficulties in trying to get help in the time immediately after the fires. Our guest is John Eisenberg, an attorney practicing in Healdsburg in Sonoma County. He lost a home himself in the Oakland fire in the early 90s and nearly lost his home last year. So he's got some perspective, and he's worked with a lot of clients dealing with similar situations. John, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
So tell us about your own particular situation. Did you have to evacuate last year, all that?
We were about three blocks from an evacuation advisory. And given my experience with my wife in Oakland in 1991, we took that advisory very seriously and packed and were ready to go. Our home burned in the fire in 1991 in Oakland. So we've had the experience of losing a home, of rebuilding, of negotiating a settlement with our insurance company. We were really terrified for a few days last fall. We had two families living with us who had lost their homes in the Tubbs Fire in Santa Rosa. All of us were poised to keep running. We decided to go west where it was cool and damp to the coast, but we never actually had to evacuate.
Okay, very close, though, from the sounds of it. You know, one of the words you used in there is going to have people's ears prick up, I think, and that was the idea of negotiating, because I think since most of us never have to deal with the insurance company in losing our home, we work on the assumption that, well, the insurance company comes out and looks and goes, yeah, your home's gone, here's your check. But when you use the word negotiating, it implies it's a lot more complicated than that.
I use that word very carefully and advisedly. When people buy insurance for their home or the car, anything else for that matter, they don't ask how much insurance I need. They don't ask about the coverage. Nobody does. I didn't when I got my first homeowner's policy, and I'm a lawyer. You just take it on faith that your agent's going to do right by you. That is faith not well placed. Most people are underinsured. Most people have no idea what they're covered for, and almost nobody is prepared to deal with filing a claim for a major loss like a home in a mass fire. It involves not just collecting a check, but a long drawn out negotiation with probably a handful of insurance company adjusters whose job is not to make you whole, but to negotiate the best deal they can for the insurance company. It's your job to know your rights and negotiate the best deal you can for yourself, with the goal being to get what you're entitled to. That can be a very hard-fought battle.
So even you mean there are numbers on the policy. I mean, I look at my homeowner's policy every year when I pay it, and it has a dollar amount there. Will they not come to that dollar amount if your house just simply isn't there?
Well, there are two problems. First of all, the dollar amount probably won't be enough unless you've been very careful about selecting the amount of your coverage. Secondly, although there's a dollar amount there, you're going to have to prove that your damage rose to that dollar amount. Two different problems. Most people, I'd say at least half, maybe 75%, are insured for perhaps half to two-thirds the actual value of their home. The reason for that is when the insurance companies select the amount of your coverage, they use algorithms. They use standard estimates of cost to rebuild on flat lots in the cheapest part of the country. In California, for example, where construction costs generally add up to between $300 and $600 a square foot, the policies are generally calculated at about $200 a square foot. So you start out with perhaps two-thirds the amount of money you need to rebuild.
That's a staggering figure. Why is California so high up there, $300 to $600 a square foot? Just because real estate's so expensive in California, or the contractors, or both?
Both. Cost of living, cost of labor. For some reason, people still want to live in California. I was born and raised here. When I In my childhood, there were about 12 million people in California. Now there's something like 40 million. A house that would cost you, say, $200,000 in Portland might cost you $1 million in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's just insane. The insurance companies insure California homes at the value of Kansas homes.
I was about to say Nebraska, but we're pretty close then. So,
pretty close.
Yeah. Middle flat part of the country where real estate doesn't cost that much.
And labor is cheaper.
Mm-hmm. And so we're talking to John Eisenberg, an attorney practicing in Healdsburg in Sonoma County. He lost a fire or home to fire in Oakland in 1991 and came about a block away from losing his home last year in Healdsburg, and has experience with obviously with coming back from a fire that burned down his home and has been helping other people through the years. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Many questions you may have about what happens after a fire wipes out your house and the houses of your neighbors. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. John, you said something, too, about insurance companies need you to prove that your loss rose to an actual dollar amount. It seems like if there's nothing but foundation and ashes, you've kind of proven the point that there's been a total loss.
Well, just to be clear, by the way, the fires didn't come closer than a few miles to my home.
A few miles, okay. Fair enough.
The evacuation area was a few blocks away, but
fires. Yeah,
there
was
ashes in the sky. The sky was orange. The town was emptied. Most people left. It was pretty scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't want to overstate the case. I did not suffer the kind of trauma that people did who had fire in their backyards.
Mm, sure.
But getting to the question of estimating the amount that you are entitled to recover, most policies in California, and I'm going to presume it's the same in Oregon, give you a base amount of coverage for what's called the actual cash value of your house. And that would be what it would sell for less the value of the land. They also will provide an additional amount called extended coverage or replacement cost coverage that will pay a further percentage generally. It's not going to be a dollar amount, it's going to be a percentage. So maybe they'll pay another 20% or another 50% of the amount that it would actually cost to rebuild your house. That amount is usually more than what it would sell for, because we're talking about new construction during a period of what's called demand surge. If 1,000 people have lost their homes, 1,000 homes have been burned, as with the car fire in Redding, 1,000 homes being rebuilt, or say 500, because a lot of people aren't going to rebuild, there's a huge demand for labor, for materials, for contractors, and demand drives up the cost. So if your house alone burned in a kitchen fire, for example, it might cost $500,000 to rebuild that home. But in the wake of a mass disaster with demand surge, it might cost $700,000 or $800,000. Now, you have to prove to the insurance company what it would cost to rebuild your home. They are going to assume, the insurance company, they're going to assume, based on their algorithms, on their statistics, their standards, that you can rebuild your home for what they calculated you could rebuild that when they insured you, which is, as I say, that tract home on a flat lot in Nebraska or Kansas. And that's what they will begin offering you. So that home in Portland, Redding.
Mm-hmm.
Say that home in Redding that was worth, say, $400,000 the day it burned, that might have cost $400,000 to rebuild if only it had burned, might cost $550,000 or $600,000 to rebuild in the wake of the fires. It's going to be your responsibility to negotiate a settlement with your insurance company and explain to them, no, your numbers are wrong. I'm not rebuilding a flat house on a tract home on a flat lot in Kansas. I'm rebuilding in Redding in the middle of demand surge after a mass wildfire, and it's going to cost me $550,000, say. And the insurance company will demand from you documentation proof that it will cost that much. And they will probably supply their own offer with backup, which will probably be inaccurate, saying we think you can rebuild for, say, 300, 350. And unfortunately, what you have to do in the middle of rebuilding your life, you know, finding a temporary place to live, getting your kids, keeping them in the same school or getting them in another school or whatever, what you need to do is go out and find a contractor or an estimator or some professional who can help you to negotiate with the insurance company and prove to them that it's going to cost more. And that's why I say it's a negotiation. The single biggest responsibility a homeowner is going to have in the wake of a mass wildfire is going to be negotiating the replacement cost of your house. And that's going to involve dealing with adjusters. And that can be a mixed bag. An adjuster is either an employee of an insurance company or more likely an independent contractor whose job it is to its job it is to determine what it will cost to rebuild your home, what it will cost you to replace your property. And some of them are good and some of them are not so good. And a few of them are downright dishonest. But more than anything else, most of them come from out of state in the wake of a mass disaster.
Well, which was a real issue last year, as I understand it, John Eisenberg. You were telling our people that last year a lot of people had to come in from out of state, obviously, because so many homes were lost in the North Bay fires.
Right. The way the insurance company has modeled its claims adjusting process in the past 10 or 20 years is to outsource it, basically. That's a familiar term to all of us.
Yeah.
20, 30 years ago, the insurance companies employed in-house adjusters. Employees of the insurance companies whose job it was to adjust a claim after a mass wildfire. Now, mass wildfire 20, 30 years ago was usually a few hundred homes, not 5,000. It's gotten terribly worse. As the scale of disasters increased nationwide, and I'm talking about very much hurricanes as well as wildfires,
sure,
the insurance companies began to outsource adjusting so that they wouldn't have to keep hundreds of adjusters on staff all throughout the year and pay them while they're not doing the work. Instead, they go to temporary agencies now. And there are hundreds of these agencies nationwide. They're called adjusting companies. These adjusting companies contract with seasonal part-time workers to go to work in an area that suffered a mass disaster. There will be a flock of them, tens, dozens, maybe hundreds, will go to a state in the wake of a major wildfire or a hurricane and work around the clock and make a lot of money in a very short period of time. It's a good gig for people without any training in any special profession. And like many such gigs, it attracts a variety of people, a variety of levels of competence. Some are good, some are not so good. But what happened last fall here in Sonoma County, where I live, in the wake of these fires, was hundreds of these out-of-state adjusters mostly come from the South, from the Southern states, came to California to spend a month or two here in the state adjusting claims. They are not licensed in California. In California, you need to have an insurance adjuster's license to adjust a claim here. There are some exceptions to this, but the out-of-state adjusters that came to California were working here illegally and still are.
Really?
Yes. Oregon's a little bit different. Oregon has reciprocity, which means if you're licensed in a different state, you can work in Oregon. And it's reciprocal for Oregon adjusters. My experience as a Californian who has counseled a lot of Californians with their claims has been it's kind of unique to California right now because hundreds of adjusters have been working here illegally. Some are okay. Many are not so good. But most of them don't know California law and are advising people wrongly, incorrectly about their insurance claims. And unfortunately, although we have a California Department of Insurance the department is not enforcing the adjuster licensing laws in California and doing nothing about these adjusters working here illegally. So a lot of the advocacy I've been doing has been trying to get the Department of Insurance to adjust the to enforce the adjuster licensing laws. That's been a frustrating experience, which means basically, and I'm sure this is true in Oregon as well, unfortunately, if you suffer a loss, if your house is burned in a major wildfire, you need to be very, very proactive and very careful and very protective of your rights and either take the time to educate yourself so that you can negotiate effectively with your insurance company or find help from someone else. And there's lots of help available from nonprofit advocacy organizations, to lawyers if necessary, although that's really a last resort. That's the one thing you want to avoid.
John Eisenberg is himself a lawyer. He's an attorney practicing in Healdsburg in Sonoma County. He lost a home in the Oakland Fire in 1991, and last year's Tubbs Fire came within a few miles of his house. He's been talking to people about what they should do with insurance companies and the law after fires since that time and before it as well. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Your questions, your comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. So you have taken the state to court over the insurance adjuster situation?
I have, actually. More specifically, the California Insurance Commissioner, his name is Dave Jones, and the California Department of Insurance. I have taken them to court. I am asking, this is myself and one of the family members who lived with us after the fire. We have taken the state court, the state of California Department of Insurance, and are asking the court to order the insurance commissioner to enforce California's adjuster licensing laws, which allow for out-of-state adjusters to come here in the wake of the fire, but require them to register with the Department of Insurance and work under the active supervision of someone who knows California law. So we're not asking for much. What I'm actually asking the court is to order the insurance commissioner to do his job, which is to enforce the adjuster licensing laws of the state of California. You'd be amazed at how much pushback I've been getting from the Department of Insurance. On September 10th, I will be in court in San Francisco arguing that case, asking the court to issue a preliminary injunction requiring the insurance commissioner to enforce the adjuster licensing laws in California immediately. Now, I filed this lawsuit in February when victims of the California wildfires were really at their peak of negotiating with their insurance companies. It's pretty much too late for them now. We're 10 months down the line of negotiating. Whoever has been hurt by bad advice from an out-of-state adjuster is probably near the end of being able to do anything about it. So, unfortunately, I have not been able to achieve what I wanted with this lawsuit for the victims of last year's fires. I am hoping to be able to achieve something for the victims of this year's fires.
Now, is there work on legislation as well? I noticed that the legislature always seems to have a couple of things about post-fire actions involved. One of them being, who to blame. I noticed the whole should we hold the power companies responsible if PG&E, for example, is their facilities start a fire. So, is there any legislation specific to post-fire insurance handling that is before the state legislature?
There has been quite a bit. There have been two types. One type, and it's produced a handful of bills, has been to change the way claims were adjusted. That's been kind of a mixed bag in the California legislature. I could give you an hour on the details, but I won't. Suffice it to say that the bills generally start out pretty good, and then they end up getting watered down because the insurance companies have very effective lobbyists and give a lot of money to the legislators. And the bills have been disappointing to me. There's been some relief for fire victims. It has not been very effective, in my view. When it comes to liability, that's a different kettle of fish altogether. I personally have been involved in just trying to help fire victims. I'm not trying to get anyone to sue. I'm trying to keep people from having to sue. I'm just advising people on how to negotiate successfully and get the money they need to rebuild their lives.
So, John Eisenberg,
other lawyers are trying to get money from PG&E.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
All right, so you're not in that category.
I'm not playing that game, and it's an interesting game. Again, complex issues in the an expanded fire season.
Yeah, absolutely. So one final question here then. So for the folks who are listening to this thinking, well, phew, hasn't happened to me, should they consider paying up their insurance to cover a higher replacement cost for their homes?
What I think everybody should do is pull out your policy, your insurance policy. Take a look at it. Call your insurance agent, whoever sold you that policy, and have a conversation with your agent or broker about whether or not you have enough coverage. If you've got $200 a square foot worth of coverage, you should seriously consider whether that's enough. Have that conversation with your insurance agent. If your insurance agent insists it's enough and refuses to increase it anymore, says the company won't do it, get it in writing from them. That way, if God forbid you should ever lose your home and you find yourself in the position of being underinsured, if you have proof that you've raised the issue with your insurance company, you might be able to get the increased coverage.
All right. John Eisenberg, a lawyer in Sonoma County in Healdsburg, who has been helping people with issues post-fire and insurance. Thanks so much for joining us today and walking us through some of the issues involved.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.